Good morning. Certainly good to see this good number out on this first day of the week. And we're thankful to have this new beginning of this new year. And what a better way for us to begin it than to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and to worship our Lord on this first day of the week. I noticed that the scriptural heading at the top of that last song was 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And certainly that ought to be our thought as we enter into a new year, that we do not let up in our service to God, but that we continue to be faithful and steadfast in our efforts to serve Him. And we want to spend some time just thinking about this new year and what indeed it is, an opportunity as we stand on this brink of the new year, considering that it is an opportunity. If God grants us and gives us this new year, then we will do something with it. You know, it's like a commodity in a sense. Time is in one sense kind of like money that we will spend or do something with. And it's up to us, the choices or the direction that we will go. So we want to spend a few moments in our study just thinking about what we can do with this year. When we think about an opportunity is something that you can use. We certainly could gain more knowledge of the Word of God during this coming year. You know, we've already spent the opportunity and time that we had this morning to gather together for study of the Bible in our Bible study classes, and hopefully we can gain more knowledge and strengthen our faith in doing that. And when you think about the many opportunities that will come through this year, and we could think first, you know, about our normal services on Sunday and our Bible study every Sunday and every Wednesday night. And then we think about opportunities like gospel meetings, and those are added opportunities, several of which we will be having. We've added our Thursday morning Bible class, which we'll be meeting again this coming Thursday morning. And we have numerous opportunities that will present itself, not only here, but we're blessed to be in an area where there are many other local congregations that are near us that provide even additional opportunities, so that we're not without many opportunities to take advantage of gaining in strength and in knowledge of the Word of God. Will we do that? You know, in addition to that, we also, of course, have the opportunity to study the Bible in our own homes, on our own time, and to continue to increase in that way. So a certain amount of time could and should be spent to grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. And the same is true when it comes to the opportunity to grow in faith and spiritual maturity. As we study the Word of God, it's where our faith comes from. It's where our faith is strengthened and grows. There is no substitute for that. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We can't just pass it along as some family trait or genetic trait. It must go from us to our children in the same way we receive it, through a knowledge of the Word of God. But certainly, again, with continued time, one thing that should be certain with children of God is that we are ever growing more and more mature spiritually, and that we are getting stronger, not weaker. But certainly one thing is true for every one of us. At the end of this year, if we live through this another year, we will either be stronger spiritually or we will be weaker spiritually. You know, the idea that we can just kind of put it on autopilot and stay the same, stay where we are, is not true. We're not an artificial plant. You know, the only kind of plant in your house that ever stays the same is an artificial plant, isn't it? You know, even real plants, they're either losing leaves or they're gaining them. They're either growing or they're dying. And so the same is true with us spiritually. We don't stay the same. We will either be stronger or we will be weaker spiritually. And that's up to us. It's up to what we do with this year and this time that God is giving us. And so we need to work to grow. Paul wrote to those, or the writer of Hebrews wrote to those about those Christians there about the idea of by the time that they had been living and the time they had been Christians, they ought to be more mature than they were And they had not grown in the proper way. So it's something we need to think about. Will we grow in knowledge? Will we grow in faith? When it comes to attending the services of the church, again, will we be faithful in that? You know, the end of a year and the beginning of another new year is certainly a time where, as human beings, we begin to reflect on and think about the past year. And maybe we think about things we wanted to get done or we planned to get done and we didn't accomplish. Or we think about what's coming up in the future. And, you know, it's interesting to look at and to study a lot of the resolutions that are made. And usually always, you know, up there near the top of the list is losing weight or getting more physically fit. A lot of people think about that at this time of the year. And you know, what's interesting is people may attack things like this sometimes in a general way. I just want to lose more weight or I want to be more physically fit. And if you ask them, well, you know, what are you going to do in order to accomplish that? Then they may not have a specific plan. And we can almost always say, as the old saying goes, if nothing changes, nothing changes. You know, if you don't change a diet, or if you don't change your exercise to where you add more exercise and you eat better, then how is it going to happen that you're any better at the end of the year? How is it going to change? And if we start thinking about our level of knowledge and our level of spiritual maturity, these are directly tied to how well am I attending the services? How much am I taking advantage of the opportunities that are provided for me? And so again, if I'm not attending the way that I should, then I need to think about that. I need to use this year to be better in that area, to make plans. If I've been missing services on Wednesday evening, realize the advantage that that is to you. Realize the opportunity it is for you to grow, to be with the spiritual family of God, to be encouraged and to be an encourager. You know, coming to the services because someone beat you over the head to do that is not a good motivation. We need to be motivated to be here because we understand the value of what is being offered, how much we need that, how much our children need that, how much we can grow from that, what an opportunity it is. And so hopefully, you know, if this is an area that I've not been as good or as strong in this past year, then I need to resolve that I'm going to improve in that so that I can become more mature and go gain more in knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And then another great and worthy goal for us as a child of God is that we would help lead someone else to become a Christian, a child of God, during this year, that we could work hard to spread the gospel to friends, family, loved ones, acquaintances, things, individuals that we know, that we come in contact with on a regular basis, that we can have an influence on their life. What a wonderful thing it would be, and what more could we do that would be greater than to help save a soul from death in this coming year? And to know that we had a direct impact through leading someone to attend or learn the Word of God, study with them the gospel of Christ, and help them save their soul. Whatever else might be accomplished in the year, if we do that, what a great thing it would be that we could accomplish in this year. And then to give God and His kingdom truly first place in my life. We study about that, we think about it, we know what it really means. But did we accomplish that in the past year of our life? And if not, what a better time is there for us to make that resolve that we will truly begin to put God where He belongs and deserves in our life. First place in our life. Now I want you to stop and think about a moment. If we did not use it for things like this, then what else will I spend this year doing? What else could I spend it doing? Well, you know, I could work more. I could earn more money in a physical job. I could choose to miss services because I have an opportunity for overtime, and therefore I could gain more money. Would that be a better thing, really, when you think about it, than it would be for me to spend that time putting the kingdom of God first in my life and growing in faith? Is it better to grow closer to God or to gain more of earthly goods and things of this world. We could spend more time watching television. You know, if you're not here on Wednesday evening or during a gospel meeting, you can be home watching that favorite television show. And really, when you stop and think about that, what a total waste of the time that we have that we can be using to serve God. Why would we ever think that trading an opportunity to study the Word of God with saints is worth this time spent watching television? Things of that nature. We could pursue or add new hobbies. What will that do for me 100 years from now? What will it do for my children if this is what I spend my time doing in the coming year? Certainly, we could usually gain a little bit more sleep, and I understand that this is something that is a necessary thing, but again, if we love it too much and we spend too much time doing it, the Word of God warns us about that as well. And even Jesus at times sacrificed sleep in order to spend more time with His Heavenly Father, when He would go out at times and spend all night in prayer to His Heavenly Father. Sleep is a good and necessary thing, but too much of it, again, taking it instead of the right thing is not a good thing. Now, if you knew for a fact that this would be the final year that you lived on this earth, do you think it would make a difference in choices that you would make? And you know what's interesting is, none of us knows whether this will be the last year of our life. What we do know for sure is there will be a last year of our life. There will be a time where we pass away from this life and we are no longer here. And at the beginning of this year, whether we're 8 or 80, we don't know whether this will be the final year that we live in this world. There's so many ways that death can come to us, whether we're healthy or not, whether we're young or old, wealthy or poor. It doesn't matter. It is no respecter of persons. And so we know that it could be the last year of our life. And wisdom, therefore, literally teaches us that we need to be living like it is. And so I think that helps us to put things in perspective and hopefully make the right kinds of decisions. Rather than staying home on Wednesday night to watch television or be engaged in a hobby or even read a book, why would I then not choose to be with the children of God? Take advantage of all of the opportunities that I have to prepare for eternity, to serve God, to gain in strength and maturity. And the question is, when we ask, do you know that it will not be the final year of your life? The obvious answer is, we do not. We truly do not. So let's think about some guidelines for the coming new year. Let me suggest some great things for you to consider and think about. When it comes to God, here's what we need to be doing. We need to be developing a stronger relationship with Him. We need to work to become closer to our Heavenly Father, not going the other direction. Matthew 22 says in verse 37, Jesus said to him in answer to what is the greatest commandment, He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." This is the first and great commandment. When Jesus was asked that, what's the most important commandment? What's the greatest one? He said, this is it. And when we stop and think about that, can we say that we really do not have some room to grow in this area? Do we really love God in this way, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? You see, God wants us to serve Him, not because we're compelled to do so, not because we're forced, but because we want to, because we truly love Him. We want to be in His presence. We want to worship Him. That's what God is striving to get us to get to and to grow to that level of spiritual maturity. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, He says, pray without ceasing. This is an area that we can grow in without a doubt, to spend more time with our Heavenly Father, more time in prayer to Him. not only in study of His Word, where we listen to Him, but where we communicate with Him, where we pour out our heart's desire. Another area that there's always room for us to grow and improve in. In 1 John 2 and verse 3, He said, "By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God, is perfected in him." How do we really demonstrate or show our Heavenly Father the true love that we have for Him? It's not something that is in word only. It's not something even that just when we sit in this assembly and we sing about how much we love God. There's more to it than that. He said, here is the proof. By the fact that we keep the Word of God. By this we know that we are in Him and He abides. He who says He abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Again, we listen to and follow and obey the Word of God. That is the essence of our truly loving God. But then not only do we have a relationship with God, we have a relationship with others as well that we need to work on and continually strive to improve. If we are a husband or a wife, then I need to strive to be a better husband and wife. And, you know, we may have developed a long time ago the idea that we're already as good as we need to be. And we may think we can kind of put that relationship also on autopilot. And what happens is that sometimes we begin to take each other for granted. And we don't work as hard as we need to, perhaps, at being a good husband or a good wife. And refreshing and remembering the responsibility and the blessings that we have in this relationship that God created for us. He reminds us, and it's still true in Ephesians 5, 25, husbands are to love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. What a strong commandment this is. What a tremendous responsibility it is for a husband to truly love his wife as Christ loved the church. I know that's an area that I still need to work on. I know it's an area I've not attained to that level yet. And it's a high and lofty goal, but one that we should not satisfy or be satisfied for just halfway attaining it. It's a serious responsibility. And likewise, when it comes to Ephesians 5:28, it said, "Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." And you know, this kind of comes back to the idea of the golden rule. We don't have any problem knowing what we need, what we want, taking care of ourselves. So he said, love your wives in the same way. Love them as if they're your own bodies. Because, in fact, they are. That's the point that he's making. The husband and wife become one flesh. And you are to love her as your own body. And by loving your wife in this way, he said, you love yourself. It is indeed loving one's self properly. Then in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored." You know, we live in a society that actually encourages in many ways the exact opposite of this. That women not be good workers at home or worried as much about home as outside the home. That they don't feel they need to subject themselves to the authority of their husbands. And more our society is working to destroy and reverse the roles that God has planned in the home. But we understand this is not according to the direction of the Word of God. We understand that there is an authority structure in the home, as in all other areas in our life. And that it is God who has placed the husband as the head of the home and to be a spiritual leader in that home. And the wife is commanded by God to be subject to her own husband as unto the Lord. And that literally is as strong a command as the other, of the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church. And so again, women are to love their husbands, to love their children, just as the husband is to love the wife. And when we listen to these things, as old as they are, to these commands given to us by God, when we apply these principles, our homes will be stronger. Our children will be in a good relationship. They will understand what a good husband and a good wife are all about. They will go forth to create their own with the proper role models to follow. Getting back to the basics and being reminded of these principles and working to improve in these areas in our life will only make our lives better in this coming year. Even children can work to be better if they do not properly respect their parents or understand that command. Again, that is given throughout the Word of God to honor and respect and obey their parents. This is a good time to think about that and improve in that area. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. There will be any number of young people throughout this year that will completely disregard what a good parent would lead them to do, and it may end up in their death. There's no question about that. There will be those who disobey parents to their own destruction. And there really is something to that, being the first command with promise and obeying your parents, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So Ephesians 6:1, again, that familiar passage says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And so again, it doesn't hurt to remind those in that situation, those who are children, the importance of honoring, respecting, and obeying your parents. But then parents themselves also can work to be better, to be a better example, to lead their children in the direction they should go, to follow the command in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And I need to ask myself, am I really training my children the way they should go? Am I encouraging and admonishing them? And again, I can take advantage of things like Bible study classes and opportunities of that nature. But there's so much more, and it doesn't absolve me of the responsibility in the home to be training and leading my child in the way that he should go. And looking at my own example and what I am teaching them by my own life as well. There's so much involved in this. And it is a serious responsibility. It cannot be substituted for anything but time and attention that is involved in order to accomplish what is being talked about here. Even from the Old Testament, in the days of Moses, in Deuteronomy 11, he taught them to lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. First of all, you be sure these words are in you. They're in your heart. They're a part of you. And then he says, teach them to your children. Speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Now, what this involves here is there's got to be time together in the home. There's got to be a time when you sit in your home and you speak with your children. More and more, the hurried world that we live in, people going every direction, the idea of sitting around a family table and having a family dinner together has become an anomaly rather than something normal in our world. So again, maybe we need to slow down and have more time where we truly communicate with one another. And maybe turn off the television more and spend more time in study and communication and talking with one another and training our children in the way they should go. But then when we think of our relationship with others, husbands, wives, children, parents, then there are neighbors. And we are also commanded and taught in God's Word to love our neighbor as ourselves. Once again, kind of the golden rule concept that is talked about here. And we need to work to improve relationships again in the world that we live in, that we can be the light that we need to be in our community, that we can be the salt that is preserving and saving, that we can take advantage of opportunities again to invite and encourage neighbors to come and study the Word of God. Maybe in our home or in, again, opportunities like gospel meetings, not only for ourselves, but for others as well. Thinking about, if I've never done that, this would be a good time to start. and to think about what I could accomplish, and that this may be the beginning of helping to lead that person to know and obey the Word of God. Matthew 7, verse 12 states that principle, "Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." And when you think about, again, what we can do to help others, what more than spreading the Word of God, helping them learn and understand the truth of God's Word? Would we want that? Would we want to be saved if we're not? Would we want someone to share the gospel with us? And so, again, it should provoke what things we need to do in our life to make the needed changes to accomplish that. And then there's our relationship with others as Christians. And we need to strengthen those ties with other Christians. We have that most blessed relationship of being in Christ and being brothers and sisters in Christ. And this congregation is a good and strong congregation. I want to reiterate how thankful I am to be able to be here, to work with you. Donna and myself are delighted that we have that opportunity, the time we've already had with you, and we look forward, Lord willing, to this coming year and the opportunities that it has. And we feel privileged to be able to be with and to work with this congregation. And yet, each and every one of us will either grow closer to others here, we will grow greater in our love for one another, or, Lord, again, help us not to go another direction to where problems would arise. You know, Satan observes congregations just like he does people. And I've learned through the years that when things are going well, you need to be on guard. You need to be watching. Because he would love nothing more than to disrupt that love, to disrupt that unity, to sow trouble or division, to bring people further apart, not closer together. So we can grow closer together or we can grow weaker through this year. We can have problems or we can work to be stronger and to continue to accomplish the will of God. 1 John 3 says in verse 10, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." Now I want you to realize what a serious and sobering responsibility he puts upon us here by saying we are not of God. We are not righteous if we do not love our brother. Talking about the brother or sister in Christ. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." But once again, when we think about motivations or reasons for loving one another, it should be certainly much deeper than, well, I'm commanded to do it. I've got to do it. Got to love you, you know. It should be much greater than that. Our love should be genuine and heartfelt. 1 John 3 says in verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death to life." How? "Because we love the brethren." Think about how much is said in the Word of God about this and this relationship and how important it is that we learn to accomplish this and to do this. Again, literally showing we have passed from sin to life, from death to life. "He who does not love his brother abides in death." But unfortunately, there are way too many Christians. And I'm not talking about anybody specifically here, but through the years I've known way too many Christians whose heart is not filled with love for brethren, but hatred for other brethren, envy and jealousy for other brethren, animosity and bitterness for other brethren. And in spite of this verse, it continues in the hearts of many year after year. Each of us needs to look deep into our hearts and ask ourselves, what do we have in our heart? And is that love for our brethren, again, what it needs to be? And let's, again, work on whatever needs to be changed. Work on whatever needs to be solved in those relationships. Needs to be put off and put on in order to accomplish what he is talking about here. Here's the command in Romans 12 and verse 10. "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I'll tell you, in this section alone, there's enough for us to work on the whole year. You stop and think about everything that is said here in this passage. But he starts by be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, given to hospitality. What he is talking about there is strengthening those relationships, growing in love one for another. And that's accomplished not only by coming together in our assemblies and being together, but even in our times outside of these walls, our time spent together just as the saints early in Jerusalem met from house to house with one another, grew in their love and their relationship for one another. And in the end, can we not all say that truly one of the greatest blessings in our life are the relationships we have with Christians, with children of God, knowing that there are those who love us and will do what they can for us in any way to help us. What a true blessing it is to be a part of the family of God. In Acts 2 and verse 46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. And this breaking bread was not the observance of the Lord's Supper, but eating their meals together with one another. Again, growing in their love. They ate their food with gladness, with simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You think about what was being accomplished in those day-to-day meetings. They were even leading others to know and obey the Word of God from their meeting house to house. And so we can learn again from their examples. So we've talked about God, we've talked about others, and then there is ourself. What can we do for ourselves? Well, we can learn to love ourselves properly because we're commanded to love others as we would love ourselves. And so it comes by having the proper sense of self and the proper sense of gratitude. James 2 and verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you don't know how to love yourself, how can you even properly love your neighbor? James says where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Part of the problem is, if we have hearts filled with envy, if we have hearts filled with selfishness, where all of my attention is devoted to me, then you see that's going to cause problems in the home. It's going to cause problems with a neighbor. It's going to cause problems in the church. And so I've got to get self right to get the other relationships right. That's really what he's telling me. That otherwise every evil thing will be there. Romans 12 says in verse 3, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There again is often the problem. Selfishness and pride and self-exaltation. He said, don't go there. You know, don't think and elevate yourself more highly than you ought to. Think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we need to learn to get ourselves in proper perspective. We need to learn to let each esteem others better than himself, letting nothing be done by selfish ambition or conceit, which again is the root of so many problems, so many conflicts in our day-to-day relationships. But when we can learn to elevate others and humble ourselves, it will solve a multitude of problems in our life. It will help us to get ourselves in the proper position. God doesn't want us to hate ourselves. He wants us to understand that we were worth His sending His Son to die on the cross. He loved us enough that He deemed it worthy and willing to send His Son to die for us. But at the same time, we do not need to elevate ourselves to where we think we're the only ones that matter and our opinion is the only one that matters, and that we start elevating ourselves above the welfare of others. You know, even in the home, the husband's to love the wife. The wife is to love the husband. Each one gets taken care of. when they fulfill their role. Each one looking out for each other. Isn't that better than everyone looking out for themselves? And that's often what happens in our world. Nourish your soul as you would your body. If you're going to be overweight in the next, you know, this coming year, let it be spiritually. Can you imagine that? Can we be overweight spiritually? Can we have too much knowledge of the Word of God? Too much faith? We're told that we should prosper spiritually as we would prosper physically. 3 John verse 1, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now think about that. If our body prospers equally in the coming year to our soul, where will we be? Where will we be? Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, true joy in life is to be very hungry or thirsty and to be able to satisfy that hunger with a great meal or to satisfy that thirst with pure, fresh, cold water. And if we hunger and thirst properly after righteousness, we will find it a true joy to sit down to a spiritual feast, to fill ourselves with the Word of God. It's there. It's available for us. The opportunities are real. The question is, will we take advantage of it? And then, as far as ourselves, we need to guard our hearts and guard our minds with all diligence. Because who we are, what we become, even in our relationship to others and God, will depend on what goes in to our hearts and our minds. And that's going to be a full-time job in 2017, just as it has been in the other years of our life. Because we're bombarded with garbage and filth in this world. We're bombarded with the vain philosophies of men and the errors of Satan and the lies of the devil seeking to destroy us. And we have to be careful what we let in. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard it carefully. And then sacrifice yourself in service to God. That's getting back to that seeking first the kingdom of God in your life. Romans 12 puts it this way in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Again, giving of our time, giving of our effort, giving of ourselves willingly to God, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world. You see, we have two directions that we can go. We can give ourselves willingly to God, where we can say like Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I have given Him my life. Or we can be conformed to this world. We can give in to the temptations of Satan. But he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where it starts, on the inside. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if God gives us this new year, I want you to remember and think about, we don't get a do-over. This is 2017. This is not 1-1-2016. Can you imagine if he said you didn't do what you needed to in this year, we're going to live this year over again? Doesn't happen that way, does it? Whatever we fail to do in that year, we don't get to go back and redo it. Whatever opportunities we might have had to lead someone to Christ, they're gone. That's no longer there. Or if it is, it's not the same one that it was then. So we can't redo any part of our life. Once we have spent it, it's gone. So be sure that we follow the advice in the Word of God, that we redeem the time, spend it wisely, use it, invest it in eternity. That's what we need to think about. Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Fools waste time. They throw it away, like those that would waste or throw away money. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need the time that we've got. We need to use it wisely. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So time and a new year is a wonderful opportunity But it will truly be for each of us what we make of it. What better way for you, if you're not a Christian, to start off this year correctly than by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ and becoming a child of God and completely changing the hope and direction of your life by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and then be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, if that be your need? Or if you as a Christian realize you've gotten completely off track and you're not going in the right direction and you need to make public correction of your sin and get on the right track and renew your commitment to God, then also you need the prayers of the saints and you need to confess those sins and ask for God's forgiveness. And that's your greatest need at this moment. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord in either way, please come while we stand and sing to encourage you.